So I want to start tonight with just kind of a quick recap of what we've studied so far. We've done 3 weeks of this study titled By Faith, and just digging into the faith chapter, which I've mentioned this several times, but I mean, we've heard so many teachings on this chapter, and honestly, y'all, we could probably do 12 more weeks. I was looking through it and trying to prepare for this. And like, God, what is the last thing that you really want to say? And I'm like, there's 8 more messages in here that we could continue to gather. And so I am going to thank the Lord about that. Many of you have asked me, like, will we do this again? Are we going to continue this? And y'all know that we're about to go into our summer series for our ladies' Bible study. And I want to invest in that. And so that'll be every other Monday night starting next week. And that will be in different ladies' homes in the church. And so it's really just going to be a blessing. And I encourage y'all, please take part in that. And just, it's going to be a study on 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Different teachers every week, different houses every time. And so I just think it's really going to be a blessing for all of us. And then we'll just pray and see what the Lord shows us to do after that. But I want to kind of just take us back through like the things that we've talked about. So we started actually at the end of Hebrews chapter 10. Which leads us into the faith chapter. In the first week, we talked about not throwing away our confidence and that we are not of those who would draw back under perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of our soul. And just the importance of faith in the work that God is doing in our life. And we talked a lot about how suffering works endurance into us. You know, in that scripture in Hebrews 10:35, he says, don't throw away your confidence because you have need of endurance. And we talked about how the enemy cannot take away our confidence. The world can't take away our confidence. The only way that we can lose our confidence is if we make the decision to throw it away. And what a great and powerful warning to us, especially in the days that we live in, that it is possible for us to throw away our confidence. And how do we keep from doing that? We need endurance. We have need of endurance. And so we talked about how the troubles that we walk through in this life and the suffering that we experience, it builds endurance in us. Remember the P90X conversation, you know, about how as we really work and God works in us, that he produces this endurance in us that we need. And then the next week we talked about how we actually started reading in the faith chapter. We talked about how faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things that we don't see, and how faith comes by hearing, and like the word is Jesus, and that everything that we study in the word, God is revealing himself to us through his word. And we talked about Cain and Abel and how Abel was our example of obedience to God, even when he didn't fully understand the reasons why, but how he just trusted in what God told him to do. Bring me a tenth of your offering and bring me a blood sacrifice. And when Cain tried to go his own way and do what he thought was right in his own eyes, God did not receive that sacrifice, and it opened Cain up to sin. And what did he do? He walked right out the door and he killed his brother. And we see the first murder committed in scripture. And so we just talked about the power of obedience, that in faith, we're obedient to God. And we don't always understand because his ways are higher than our ways. And we don't know how to explain or always like interpret everything that God is doing. There's so many things that happen in our lives that we really won't understand until we're in heaven together one day. But we just, by faith, we just walk in obedience to God and just the importance of doing that. And then last week, we talked about what we weren't going to talk about, which was so great. So we were going to talk about the scripture of whom the world was not worthy, but we really focused more on verses 13 through 16. And we talked about, have you seen God? Have you really seen him? Have your eyes been enlightened? And have you had that revelation from God of what heaven is and who Jesus is? And just being able to really see what waits for us. We talked about how Jesus endured the cross because of the joy that was set before him, because of what he had seen in the heavens, and how really seeing is the first step of faith. It's the first step to salvation. And the church has that backwards a lot of times. And we think confession is the first step, but seeing is the first step. It's that revelation that God gives us when he opens up our eyes and he enlightens us to the truth of who he is. And we see and we're persuaded and we embrace that truth. And then we begin to confess that. And then what comes out of our life is just this beautiful testimony, this beautiful confession of just who God is and how he's using us and how he's working in us to perfect us. It's just a beautiful thing that God does where he takes us and he makes us purposeful. He makes our life purposeful when we see what he's doing and we embrace it and we begin to just confess it. And then our life gets used for the glory of God, for the betterment of the body of Christ, for the advancement of the church and the advancement of the gospel. Just a beautiful thing. And all that is done by faith and by allowing God to show us things that we couldn't see otherwise. So I was planning tonight to talk about verses 32 through 40, really the end of the chapter. And I've been giving him quite a lot of grief for this, but if y'all were here this past Wednesday night, Pastor Lee preached my message. So Carla makes this joke all the time about everything good he says. She says it first and then he steals it from her. And he makes that joke a lot too. He's like, I heard Carla say this. But he really did preach my message. And so it's funny and I picked on him a lot. Like I walked right up to him when the service was over and I was like, what am I supposed to do now? Like, I have my whole message prepared and you just preached it. And so now I got to go ask the Lord to show me something else. And so it's funny, but it is very amazing how God does that. And y'all could sit there in your chair and you could say to yourself, she told him what she was going to talk about. She works for the man. She sees him every day. He had no idea what I was going to say. And I don't really think he's listened to the other messages. Carla's listened to him. I don't think he has. And so he had no idea what I was planning to say. And the whole time he was talking, I was like, He is going to read my scripture. And then Sunday morning, he read out of 1 Corinthians 2. Did y'all notice that? He read the verse in 1 Corinthians 2. I started to stand up and go, ladies, what, do you see this? Like, he's preaching my message. But it is so amazing to think about how God would do that. I mean, all of the pages in this Bible, and he went into that pulpit Sunday morning, and he preached to us out of 1 Corinthians 2. And I thought it was beautiful because what he said from those verses was something different than what I said last Tuesday night, but it correlated so beautifully. It was like he filled in gaps of things that we didn't have time to talk about or that I didn't share with you, and he just kind of filled all of that in, and it was beautiful. And so if you don't attend First New Testament or if you weren't here Sunday morning, I would really encourage you to go back on our website and listen to Lee's message from Sunday morning. It's so good. It's one of his best that I've ever heard him preach. It was so good where he talked about how, and I do want to encourage y'all with this before we move on to really something else. And I feel like, let me say this first, but I feel like what the Lord did with that is like he kind of made room tonight for us to talk about something that I really wanted to get to, but I wasn't going to be able to get to. And so what I'm going to encourage y'all to do is if you weren't here last Wednesday night, go listen to his, like, it's really only about 20 minutes long. In the middle, it was really more of a prayer service, like a hybrid prayer service, but he really wanted to share this message. And so he talks for about 20 minutes in the middle of that service, and he reads this scripture in Hebrews 11 about the people of faith and what they were able to accomplish. And what I loved about what he said was, if when you read these verses, it starts out talking about people like David and Samuel and the prophets, and it says, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, like all these great and mighty things that these people did. And then in the second half of that same passage, it talks about people who suffered mocking and flogging and chains of imprisonment, and they were stoned and they were sawn in two and they were killed by the sword. And he talked about how it's easy for us sometimes to think that people who see victory in their life are the people of faith. And so when you watch somebody walk through a hardship, Shannon would be a great example. Like if Shannon gets to the end of this sickness and she's healed and the cancer is gone, we rejoice like, oh, Shannon must have had a great faith because she received her healing. But really what this scripture is telling us is the people who didn't get their answer, who were sawn in two and who were flogged and who died by fire and sword, they were equally people of faith. that God's plan is different in every situation. And we cannot, as believers, sit back and judge one another's faith based on the circumstances of our lives. God is the same, no matter what our circumstances say. And if we believe that, that regardless of what the outcome was, that God is in control, and we don't question one another's faith or even, frankly, question our own faith sometimes. You know, it would be very easy for me, and trust me, the enemy tried to do it, to cause me to stumble in my faith because Clay died. And God did a beautiful thing in our story, and I don't have time to tell you about it, but the Lord had really shown us ahead of time what was going to happen. And we knew that Clay was going to die. And so our faith was on a foundation of, like, God has spoken and he's revealed to us, according to Pastor Lee's sermon Sunday morning, like, what's behind the curtain. Like, he showed us what was behind the curtain, and we knew what was coming, and he gave us the faith to believe him through it. But people who were watching our life and our testimony could very easily have said, well, we prayed for healing and God didn't do it. So where is God? God has failed us. And so what these verses are saying is, the people who triumphed and the people who died, they all had the same faith. And we just have to believe that. We just have to believe it. Now, you are the only one who knows before God if you have had the kind of faith that you've needed to face what you needed to face. Because we do sin and we do fall short and we do make mistakes and we do walk outside of faith sometimes in our circumstances. But if you know God has put this faith in me to accept what I've been given and to walk in what he's doing, then walk in it and live in your faith. And let's give each other room to do the same and not judge one another based on the circumstances or the outcome of situations, because God is the same regardless of what we see. Isn't that true? Amen. Amen. So that is the 30-second version of the message of whom the world is not worthy. And y'all can go listen to Pastor Lee preach it much better than I ever could, because it was beautiful. It was just beautiful. And so I really do encourage y'all to go and listen to that. So what I want to talk about tonight is, if you look at verse 11, it says, by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age. And these are the words I want to really focus on. Since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. I love those words, since she considered him faithful who had promised. I have a big box around those words in my Bible. And, you know, when I first read this and started kind of studying through what I felt like the Lord was going to want to say to us during this study, when I first saw that, I thought, it's just powerful words. Like, Sarah believed that God was faithful and he was the one who had promised that she would bear a son. Her faith wasn't in herself or her own ability to do that. Her faith was not in Abraham and his ability to put that seed in her. Her faith was in the one who had promised that he would do it. But I went back to Genesis to read the story, and I was expecting, you know, like, I've read that story so many times in my life, but I was expecting to find some scripture in Genesis that talked about Sarah's faith. And y'all, it's not there. When you read the story in Genesis, when she hears the Lord tell Abraham that she's going to conceive, she laughs. And then when the Lord says, why did you laugh? She says, I didn't. She lies to him. You know, she's ashamed of herself. And even when Isaac is born, she says, God has brought me laughter. Like, the people will laugh at me when they see that God has given me this gift. And she even says it like, God, you're going to, it's almost like she's saying, like, you're going to wait until I'm too old to really do this, to actually give me the gift that I've always wanted. You know, and my husband is an old man, and now you're going to give me the gift. And so she is definitely not displaying faith in the story in Genesis. And so I thought about it for a long time, like, God, it's just interesting to me. Like, you would think that somewhere in Genesis in the story, he would have told us there that she had some turn of events and she did start to believe that God would do what he said he would do. But the more I thought about it, in pondering it, I was just thinking about how sometimes the only thing we can do is just believe that God is faithful. You know, sometimes the circumstance is so big and it's so hard to understand, and so many things would have to fall into place to see and realize the vision God has given you, or the dream he's put in your heart, or for you to think that he could ever make a way out of a difficult situation that you're in, that you can't even really have a true faith that says, I believe that God could cause me to conceive at the age of 90. But what God said about her, these words are inspired by the Holy Spirit. And what he said about Sarah is not that, it's not that she believed that it could happen. It says she considered him faithful who had promised. And so somewhere in Sarah's heart, even though it's not even recorded in Genesis, somewhere in her heart, God just could see in her, and he could see, she believes me. She believes that I'm faithful. Whether the circumstance makes sense or not, or whether she actually thinks she's going to have a son and be the mother of many nations, doesn't matter. She believes that I'm faithful. And y'all, that is so important in our lives. It's just so critical in our faith, because especially in the world that we live in, this world is confusing. Our circumstances can be very confusing at times. Like, God, if you want this for me, why are you letting this happen? Or just the world is questioning our faith all the time, and we're reading things and we're hearing things. And even within the church, there's deception and there's sin and there's compromise. And there's just so much that we could just look around us. And if our faith was in our circumstance, or if our faith was in the things that we can see, we're going to feel confused. And Sarah was laughing at the idea of God doing what he said he would do. But God himself is saying, she considered him faithful who had promised. And that's really what it boils down to, is my faith in Jesus Christ to be who he said he is? And do I believe him that no matter what I see, he is faithful who has promised these things to me? It's a wonderful question for us to ask ourselves, to just let the Lord search our hearts and say, do I believe him? Do I believe that he's faithful? I want to read in Romans chapter 5. It's actually in chapter 4. It's right above chapter 5 on my page. Now, this is same story, but this is talking about Abraham in the story. It actually, these verses right here never even mention Sarah. It says, in starting in verse 18, it says, in hope, he believed against hope. I love those words. Those are boxed in my Bible too. In hope, he believed against hope. It's just so good. And just think about your life and just your circumstances and the things that the Lord is asking you to walk through. That in hope, you can believe against hope. That when it doesn't make sense, when nothing is clear, when nothing is logical, that you have hope in you that can believe against hope, that he would become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead. That's what the verse in Hebrews just said. Since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. That's so good. You should underline that. He grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words, it was counted to him, were not written for his sake only, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him, who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. So some important things in those verses. He did not weaken in his faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead. We cannot look at our circumstances to determine our faith. We cannot look at what we see, just like we read that last week or the week before, I can't remember, but in Ephesians, like when we see the things that are seen are temporal, and the things that are unseen are eternal. our eyes have to be on the things that are unseen. We have to have spiritual eyes. The mind of Christ is in you, and it is in me, and it's the Holy Spirit. And he lives in us to give us understanding of spiritual things that our carnal man cannot understand. That's in 1 Corinthians 2 that we read together. The carnal man cannot discern the things of the Spirit, but we have the mind of Christ. The Holy Spirit lives in us, and he gives us that ability. And so it says, he did not weaken in his faith when he considered his own body or the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. I completely lost it when you said that. Say it again. As he, it says, mine says as he. Does your say before? Amen. Amen. That's what I was going to say. I thought I read it wrong. I was like, oh gosh, I read it wrong. But as he gave glory to God, amen. He grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. And y'all, that is a beautiful just lesson for us to know that sometimes we have to give glory to God as we're walking through something that doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. To just praise him in it and just worship him in it. And just like Sarah, she considered him faithful before the promise came. When it didn't make sense, she considered him faithful because she believed in who had promised. And it says here that Abraham gave glory to God in the process. He gave himself to the Lord. He surrendered to the Lord. He praised God. He just believed him. He said, God, it doesn't make sense. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I give glory to your name and I praise you because I believe that you're able to do it. Our praise is so powerful, y'all. Okay, so I want to keep reading here. So it's saying how... that these words were not written for Abraham's sake alone, but for our sake, because it will be counted to us who believe in him who was raised from the dead, Jesus our Lord. And then in chapter 5, we read this also the first week. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace through God, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. So we studied this verse in chapter 5. We studied this in the first week of the study. But I want to go back and just point out how these verses about Abraham, it leads right into that. So it's like in hope, he believed against hope. He didn't let unbelief come in. He was fully convinced. He praised God and gave him glory before the promise ever came. And then it goes into this explanation of like, okay, y'all, look, you have been made right with Christ through faith and through grace. And now you stand in this grace and it gives you access to the things of God. But I need you to know that in that, sometimes you're going to suffer. But don't worry, because suffering gives you endurance. So go back to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. And what does it say? Do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of what? Endurance. We're not going to make it in this faith if we don't have endurance. We need endurance. But I want to read in Hebrews chapter 12. So now that we've looked at 10, just turn over one more page. So at the end of the chapter is, you know, all of these verses about these people that of whom the world is not worthy and all the things that they accomplished and everything that they did through faith. And it ends with verse 39. And it said, and all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Which is like, I talked about this a lot too, and I think in the first week, it's like, we're all looking forward to that moment when we're all together and we're around the throne and everyone's there together and it's all made perfect because now we're sharing in the promise together. We're around the throne of Jesus. We're worshiping him together. The church is now a whole. Everyone's there in heaven. It's all over with, and we're with Jesus now for eternity. And so then it goes into chapter 12, verse 1, and it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, that's all these people in chapter 11 that he's talked about, but it's also those of us who have people who have gone before us in the faith. Like, I know that Clay is in my cloud of witnesses. You know, he is watching the things that God is producing through his testimony, through my life, through all that God has done, through what we've gone through. And he's in my cloud of witnesses, like cheering me on, you know. And many of you have those people who you know have gone before you, and they're in that cloud of witness. So since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with what?
Endurance.
The race that is set before us. Now, how are we going to do that? How are we going to run with endurance? It's in verse 2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Like, he didn't let the shame of the cross keep him from going to the cross. And he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not resisted to the point of shedding your blood. He's saying we have to have endurance to make it to that moment around the throne of grace. And so how are we going to get there? Consider Jesus. Look to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith, who went before you in this life. Jesus was our example in suffering. He taught us everything we need to know about how to live this life. And the word tells us that God has given us everything we need to live this life of godliness. That's either in 1 Peter or 2 Peter, where he's talking about, like, he's given us all the gifts we need. And Jesus went before us as our example in all of this, in how to build endurance in our lives. And so I want to look at a couple of verses in Hebrews 2. I know we're looking at a lot of scripture tonight, but isn't it so good? The Bible can say it's so much better than anyone else, so we'll just let it speak for itself. In Hebrews chapter 2, these verses that we're about to look at have been really foundational for me. And I think for me, one of the things that has helped me so much not to lose heart in my faith, you know, because I think there's times in our life where, like, we can hold on to our faith. Like, I know that God is real. I'm convinced that God is true, that his word is true, that he is, that heaven's real, all the things. I'm fully persuaded that those things are true. But sometimes in the middle of our circumstance, when things get really hard, we can just kind of lose heart. You know what I mean by that? Like, we can get sad, and we can get depressed, and we can get anxious, and we can just get to the point where it's like, God, I love you, and I'm not going to give up my faith, but I'm just kind of defeated right now, and I've just kind of lost heart in the process of what you're asking of me, because it's hard, and I don't really want to do this anymore. And so you just kind of get to this point of exhaustion where you just lose your courage. You know, Paul says that to the church, I think that's in 1 Corinthians, where he says, so we don't lose courage, you know, and he tells them how to do that. And a lot of it's coming from, like, we're building endurance through the things that we're walking through. But these verses, you know, when it says that Sarah considered him faithful who had promised, that is a very personal thing between you and the Lord. And just like we talked about last week, that you have to see God, like, there has to be a moment in your life where this revelation comes and this enlightenment comes and your eyes are open. And you might be able to quote the Bible, and you might be able to teach this Bible study so much better than me. But there has to be a point in your walk with the Lord where there's a true revelation, a revealing, an enlightenment. Pastor Lee talked about this Sunday morning about, and it was so funny because he used the same example I used with Nicole about, like, if Nicole described her house to me, but then if I go there and I see it myself, it's a different experience. And he talked about being in a dark room and somebody describing it and then turning the light on. It's such a good way to think about that. Like, there has to come this time in your faith where the light switch gets turned on and you're like, oh, I see it. Now I see it and I understand the reality of God. And so in these verses, what we're going to read about is the beauty of Jesus, that we are the only religion that I'm aware of that has a savior and a redeemer who not only died to make the propitiation for our sin, but he suffered so that he could be acquainted with our sorrows. And that is such a beautiful thought. It's just such a beautiful thought that he walked through this life for 33 years and he suffered pain and sorrow and loss and disappointment and rejection. He suffered all of those things. And that's what we just read. You have not suffered anywhere near what Jesus has suffered. That's what that verse in Hebrews 10 said. Consider Jesus, the author and founder of your faith, and you have not suffered unto blood. And so look to him for how to do this. And so we're going to read in Hebrews chapter 2, these verses. We're going to start in verse 10. It says, "It was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source, and that is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers." Skip down to verse 14. I'm sorry, skip down to verse 17. "Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers," talking about Jesus, and that's us, we're the brothers. "Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." Y'all, just let that soak in for a minute. It's like, I think I said this either in the first or second week, I don't know, but just talking about how I wonder if he could have just come as a 33-year-old and died on the cross and just given the blood. But Jesus is like, no, I want to go and I want to be tempted in all the same ways they're going to be tempted. And I want to suffer in all the ways they're going to suffer because of these words right here. "For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those being tempted." And so if you're here tonight and you're tired and you're walking through something difficult, or if your faith is weak, or if you're dealing with sorrow, or you're dealing with depression, or you're dealing with anxiety, all of those things, you have a Savior who looks at you and says, "I am acquainted with your sorrow." Now, he never sinned. He never gave in to those things. He never fell into depression. But he faced it. He dealt with it. He dealt with the loss of loved ones. He dealt with complete and total rejection. He dealt with hunger. He dealt with nakedness. He dealt with not having a home to sleep in. He dealt with accusations over his life that were not true. He dealt with all of the things that we deal with. He faced it and he never sinned, but he faced it so that he could say to you when you come to him, "I understand. Come to me," which is in one of these next verses that we're going to read. So in chapter 3, it says, "Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses was also faithful in God's house." In verse 12 of chapter 3, it says, "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end." Doesn't that remind you of Hebrews 10? "But we are not of those who draw back unto perdition, but we believe to the saving of our soul." And y'all, when you read these chapters that Paul wrote to the church, all of these books that he wrote to the church, they have such a similar theme. He's encouraging them constantly. Hold on to your confidence. You have need of endurance. Here's how you get endurance. Consider Jesus. He's the author. He's acquainted. He's our high priest. We can draw boldly to the throne. Like, it's all these same themes in all of these letters that he's writing to the church, because life is hard. And what we go through as believers is hard. And so, but y'all, life is hard for everybody. So we can either walk through life in difficult circumstances without Christ, or we can walk through life in difficult circumstances with Christ, a redeemer and a friend who's acquainted with our sorrow and who can help us through these struggles. But Paul knew this, like, it's hard, and what we're going to go through is difficult, but we're proclaiming Christ, and we have a Savior who's acquainted with our sorrow. And I love this verse because he's like, encourage each other every day. So like, if we do this for 6 more months, this Bible study, and every single time we come, I tell you, Jesus is acquainted with your sorrow. He's the founder and author of our faith. Like, let's look to Jesus. We can make it. That's what he's telling us to do. We've got to encourage one another, because tomorrow morning, some of y'all are going to be weak and some of us are going to be strong. And the next day, I'm going to be weak and you're going to be strong. And Barbara's going to be telling me, Christy, get up. Come on. Jesus is the founder of our faith. He's acquainted with, let's draw boldly to the throne. Let's go with confidence to Jesus. Let's run with endurance. Don't throw your confidence away. We have to remind each other of this, because every day we're in this battle of the flesh and the spirit, and we've got to be reminded. Look to Jesus. Consider Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Consider him faithful who has promised. Don't you just need to hear that sometimes? And we are responsible to encourage each other with these words. Because right before what we just read in verse 12, right before that, it's talking about the children of Israel and how their suffering caused their hearts to be hardened. And we know the story, you know, and God used it to reveal so many truths about himself. But y'all, they were so stubborn. They were so stubborn. But aren't we the same way? We're the same way. So many of us can say, I walked through this. I didn't learn what God needed me to walk through. So guess what? We went around that mountain one more time. Like, I remember when Clay got sick, one of the things that I prayed all the time, I said, Lord, please help me to learn everything that you're trying to teach me, because I don't ever want to do this again. I never want to do this again, this same way. I want to learn everything you want to teach me. I want you to get all the glory that you want to get. I don't want to be in sin. Please keep me from sin. I remember telling Pastor Lee one day, I said, Lee, I can't have sin in my life right now. And we can never have sin. But it was like a desperate place that I was in where I was like, God, you have to show me sin immediately. I remember hearing a story one time. I think it was about, Carly, you'll probably know. I think it was about Smith Wigglesworth, maybe. And it's this story about him, and he's walking across the street, and he's in the middle of the road, and the Holy Spirit like quickened his heart and showed him that there was sin in his heart. And he got on his knees in the mud in the middle of the road, like horse and buggy, you know, no telling what was on his pants when he got up, like just in the middle of the road, that he fell on his knees and confessed that sin to God, because he had such an awareness of his need to confess sin, because y'all, sin separates us from God. And so when you're living in a desperate place where you're like, God, I can't see. I'm in the complete and total dark right now. I have no idea where to go from here. I have no idea what to do or say. I cannot take one step without you. When you're really living in a place like that, you're very aware of sin, because God, I have to hear you. I pray that all the time. Lord, give us eyes to see you and ears to hear you, because we're making life-changing decisions every single day. Do I say yes to this? Do I say no to this? Is my kid going to do this? Or are they going to do that? Am I going to do this or this? And it's like, you can look back in your life and see how sometimes the smallest decision that you could easily have thought, like, it's no big deal if I say yes to this, and it took your life onto a completely different path. And so when you're desperate, God, I have to hear you, you become very aware of sin, because sin separates us from God, and there is no place for it in the life of a believer, but we struggle with it. We every day, we are sinners. We have fallen short of the glory of God, and yes, his righteousness is on us. We're clothed in his righteousness, all the things. But we have to walk in an awareness. And that's what these verses are saying. The children of Israel let their suffering cause their hearts to be hardened, and they did not receive the promise because of that. They walked 40 years in the wilderness because they let it all harden their hearts, and they couldn't see that God was faithful. Just like Sarah, she believed in the one who made the promise. And so he's saying, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil and unbelieving heart that would leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day. I just want us to be that kind of people, you know, that we would see each other and be able to see, like, hey, I think you might need to be reminded, you know, like, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Like, let's keep our eyes on Jesus, and let's be careful that we don't have an evil, unbelieving heart right now, because we want to help each other make it across that finish line. We don't want to leave anybody. And in the last verse of this chapter, he says, so we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. And he's talking about those children of Israel. Y'all, can you imagine? Can you just imagine being that person that you've had every ability to serve God? You've had every, we live in America, you know, I mean, you can just go to the FNT Church website and have a sermon on everything that you need to know about the Word of God. And just that one resource, and we have millions of resources available to us to help us study the Word and know the Word and know Jesus. We have such an opportunity to know Him and be known by Him, and to be a person that lets the struggles of this life cause them to have a heart that would turn hard and grow unbelief and just turn away from God and be this person that they weren't able to enter because of unbelief. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that person. And I don't want one single one of you to be that person. When we have every reason to continue on in this faith, we have the example of Jesus that's said before us, and we know the Word, and we know Him, and we've seen Him. We've had this revelation of Him. And so we have to encourage one another in the faith. So I want to read in that at the end of chapter 4 in verse 14. This is one of my favorite verses of Scripture. I thought Carla was going to laugh at me, but she didn't. She picks on me because I say it all the time. Okay, verse 14 of chapter 4. It says, since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Y'all, that it's just such a powerful, powerful thought that we have access to draw near to the throne of God with confidence. We don't have to come to Him in fear, and by that respect, but not fear of punishment. We don't have to come to Him timidly. We don't have to step into His presence like a beggar, like a pauper, like a person who does not belong here. We are the brothers of Jesus, the Son of God, that it calls us that. Like, He was made like us so that He could call you His brother. And He has made the way for us to draw near to the throne of grace with confidence, with assurance, to come before Him and say, God, you have made a way for me to be here and to draw near to your throne of grace, and I need you. Because I don't have the strength in myself to do this. I'm weak. I'm tired. I'm confused. I'm scared. I'm lonely. I'm hurt. I'm broken. I don't know what to do right now. And so I'm coming to you in confidence because I'm clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. My sins have been forgiven. You have washed me clean. And you have given me access here because Jesus is the author and the founder of my faith. He is the propitiation of my sin. He is my example in this life. And so I come to you and I'm asking you, God, I need your grace. I need your mercy. I need your help in my time of need. I just, every time I read that scripture, I just think God wrote those words to us. He specifically wrote that to me. I really think He did. Like, it was for me because in my time of need, I needed to know, God, I can draw near to your throne and I can get what I need from you. I don't have to be afraid. Remember in the first week when we talked about the coach standing over you doing P90X, like you're just an idiot and you can't do anything right and you can't do 20 push-ups. What's wrong with you? That's not the God we serve. We have a merciful and a faithful high priest who stands over us and says, Christy, you can do it. You can do it. And I haven't left you and I haven't forsaken you. I'm not making you suffer because it makes my heart glad. I'm teaching you, I'm molding you, I'm breaking you, I'm making you useful. And through suffering, I'm giving you endurance. And as you build endurance, I'm putting my character in you. And as you have more of my character, you have this hope that's built up inside of you. And that hope doesn't put you to shame because now you love me more because you can see what I'm doing. And your eyes have been enlightened and you see how this relationship with me is benefiting your life and you're growing stronger and your faith is stronger. And now it's like, there's nothing that you can't conquer. There's nothing that you can't do. And just like the men and women of faith in this chapter, y'all, they did amazing things. They did amazing things. And we read the stories and it would be so easy for us to think like, that's for the Old Testament or that's for people that are important in the world today. But that's for you. It's for you. It's for your little life of a person that lives in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and has a circle of friends and goes to a church and has a family and a couple of kids. It's for you. It's for you. You don't have to be important. You don't have to have 20,000 Facebook followers. You don't have to be a pastor of a 30,000 member church. You can be this person in the faith chapter. And when we get to heaven one day, you can be written in the chronicles of God. Your story is going to be captured. Your tears are going to be bottled, and the story of your life is going to be captured. And the reward of your life is going to be the other people who are there because of you. Think of the believers that could have endurance built up in them simply because you're one of these people that Paul says, like, hey, remind each other every day. Remind each other every day. We can do it. We can make it. We're encouraging one another in the faith and we're pushing each other on. Someone might be in heaven one day, not because you shared the gospel with them, but because you lived a life of faith as a believer in front of them that gave them the endurance they needed to make it there. Because people fall away. They put their faith in Jesus and they fall away and they don't make it. They can't enter because of their unbelief. And God may use your life to cause a believer to make it across the finish line. And y'all, I just think if we could really grasp that thought, that there's nothing that we wouldn't let the Lord do through our lives. There's nothing that we would say no to. If we could really see what that moment is gonna be like and we could really understand, like one day my name might be written in something in heaven. And it's not about me, because just like we established in the very first week, we can't even believe in him unless he gives us the faith to believe. And so no one's going to boast in his presence. No man is going to be glorified. It's all about God. All the responsibility is on him. But we get to be in that moment with him and say, God, you used my life to produce that gold and silver and precious jewels. And now these people are here worshiping around the throne because you ask something hard of me, something difficult that you asked me to walk through that produced this faith in me that was contagious. And now all these other people didn't struggle with a hardened heart and unbelief because you gave me faith to believe you for something that was totally impossible. It's like, it's back to the cycle of like, we suffer and in the end we love God more. What? It does not make sense. It doesn't, and any person who doesn't know Jesus will look at you like you have three heads when you say that to them. I know I'm walking through really something hard, but man, I love the Lord more in the end of it. It's like, what? What is wrong with you? You know, why aren't you out? Why aren't you taking anxiety drugs? And why aren't you beating a baseball bat against a fence? Because I love God more, because I can see it and I know what he's doing. And he's putting this endurance in me that I'm going to need because life is going to get harder and harder. I was thinking about this when Daryl Turner was preaching last Sunday morning. I was thinking about how he was talking about, like, you know, the clock has started. And Pastor Lee has preached that same sermon. Like, we're in the two-minute warning. This is it. We're down to the end of time. And so something has shifted, and we can feel it. And so it's like, okay, the clock has started and we don't know how much time we have until the actual rapture when God brings the church home. And so what are we doing with our life on the in-between is basically what his message was. It was so good. But I was thinking about how what's ahead of us as American believers, we really could suffer. We really could be persecuted. We really could walk through some very hard things. And I was just looking around the room in my mind. I was sitting on the front row, but in my mind, I was like thinking about all the people in our church and all the stories of what people have been through just in the last 5 or 6 years. So many testimonies of people who have been challenged with really difficult situation, prodigals, cancer, death, tragedy, just car accidents. I mean, just all kinds of stuff that's happened. And someone in the world looking in at our church, or really in any church, because it's the same Holy Spirit and God's doing the same work. And so if you don't go to FNT, your church, you probably have the same story. But I look at us and I think an unbeliever could look inside of our church, peek in the door and say, I don't want to go there. Gosh, those people got problems. You know, they're worshiping and praising the Lord, but they have really hard lives. And I'm afraid to get involved in that because something really bad might happen to me, you know. But I was thinking about how we have been in training. We have been in training. The tragedies that we've walked through, the difficulties that we've walked through, it's working in us this eternal weight of glory, and it's building endurance in us. And we have these great stories among ourselves that is like, okay, y'all, we made it through that. We can make it through the next thing. And so God has individually and corporately worked this faith into us through difficult things. That in all of us, I believe, I really think that every one of us has it. And maybe I'm naive, but I just look at y'all and I think like, okay, we get it. I feel like all of us really see it. God has put us through this training session where it's like, I'm teaching you endurance. I'm teaching you faith. I'm showing that you can make it. You can make it. And I just was sitting there thinking like, God, whatever is ahead of us, I think we're going to make it. I think we're going to make it. I think that I'm sitting in this church with a bunch of people who are going to believe to the saving of their souls because we've believed you through these things and you've proven yourself to be faithful. He who has promised. We're like a bunch of Sarahs on the pews in our church. Like, okay, God, I don't understand. I'm laughing at you. And I'm thinking like, how in the world are you going to get a baby out of this 90-year-old body? But I believe that he is faithful who has promised. And I believe that to the saving of my soul. And there's nothing that can take that confidence from me because my foundation has been shaken. The winds have come and they have blown. And the enemy has conjured up the strongest hurricane force winds that he could have conjured up. And they have blown against my faith. And my foundation is sure. And I'm standing on a rock and I'm on a broad place. He's put my feet on a broad place because he has proven his word to be true. And so I don't have to stand in this broad place and be afraid of what may come next because I've already felt his hurricane. And guess what? There's nothing new under the sun. So whatever the devil is trying to do to cause our faith to be shattered, it's nothing new than what he has already done to us. Or what we've already seen him do in the world. And so we know the weapons of his warfare. We know what we're fighting against. We've seen the spiritual realm. We've seen heaven. Our faith is sure and it's confident. And we are not going to throw it away because we haven't thrown it away yet. And we're all in this together like, come on, y'all, we can do it. Let's look to Jesus. Let's consider Jesus today. And if today Trudy's weak, I can be strong. And if tomorrow I'm weak, Marietta's going to be strong. And we're going to help each other and we're going to remind each other of these truths and all of these things that God has shown us and the things that he's brought us through. But y'all, we can't be like the children of Israel. We can't be like the children of Israel. We cannot allow our hearts to be hardened with unbelief. Y'all, they heard the voice of God. They saw miracles that we can't even really comprehend. I mean, we have seen God do some mighty things, but I mean, they watched the Red Sea open up. I don't know about y'all, but I've never seen anything like that. I mean, they saw things that we can't understand, and they let their hearts grow hardened. When they didn't get their way and when they couldn't see what God was doing and they couldn't understand, they pitched a fit, and they got mad at God, and they let their hearts grow cold, and they couldn't enter the promise because of their unbelief. We can't let that happen. We just can't let that happen. And y'all, the thing too that's so exciting about this thought that we're in this 2-minute warning is it's almost over. It's almost over. I was talking to Rachel Carter. We went to see her Sunday morning before church because she had her baby. And we were talking about her contractions, you know, just the same thing you always talk about when somebody has a baby. Like, tell me the whole story. Where were you when you had your first contraction? Oh, you got in the bathtub after your labor started. That's great. Okay. Patrick was like, she was drying her hair and she was leaning over in pain. And then she would sit up and start drying her hair again. And then she'd have a contraction. She'd be like, ugh! And then she'd start drying her hair again. And he was like, put the hair dryer down and let's go. You know, he's freaking out. And I was telling her, I was like, isn't that sweet of the Lord that like your labor pain comes in contractions? Like you can do pretty much anything for 30 seconds. No matter how bad it hurts, you got to hold on for 30 seconds and then it's over. And you know, like I can finish drying my hair real quick. I got 3 minutes until the next one, you know, like I can do anything for 30 seconds. And isn't it sweet of the Lord that he does that? Like the pain of this life, the things that we feel, like he gives us reprieve. He gives us reprieve from those things. But I'm going to be really honest with y'all right now. I completely lost my train of thought. It had to happen once tonight. Why did I start talking about Rachel? What was I saying? That wasn't the point I was making about, wait, let me pause the recording. Let me pause the recording so these people don't know what an idiot I am. What was I saying? Yeah, but it wasn't about the reprieve. What was I saying before that? We can make it. We can make it. Keep talking. What else was I saying, Caleb?
For the baby that she was going to have.
Yes, for the joy that was set before her. Lord. Anyway, maybe he just wanted us to have a good laugh and remind y'all how totally imperfect I absolutely am. It's only by the grace of God we got through 4 weeks of this together, y'all. I'm telling you right now. Anyway, I just was listening to her tell the story, and I just was thinking about how we can do anything for 30 seconds. And so let's just encourage one another. Like, yes, hardships of life come, difficult things come, difficult moments come, but we have to hold on to our faith. We can't throw it away. We can't throw away our confidence. And just like the children of Israel, when they just let their hearts grow hard because they got frustrated with the Lord, we can't misunderstand what God is trying to do. I think that might be the point I was trying to make. That contraction is bringing forth life. That contraction is there to push that life out of that body. And so we can't misunderstand the pain, because a woman in labor who's like, I'm not doing this anymore. It hurts. I'm not doing this, which you cannot do, by the way. There's no going back on that. But if we just get mad at the situation, like, why does it hurt so bad? But you don't, because you understand what it is. And then it's almost like, okay, let's get those contractions closer, because it means we're almost done. Like, we're here at the end. And so it's bringing life out of us. And we have to understand what God is doing, because when we take our life out of context, when we misunderstand what God is trying to do, when we lose our focus on heaven and what God is trying to do in us, that's when unbelief creeps in. That's when disappointment comes in and bitterness starts to take root in our life. We can't let that happen. We have to believe to the saving of our soul. And so let's rejoice in the fact that God has brought us through so much. He has built so much endurance in us, y'all. Every one of you, if we wanted to stay here for 4 more hours, we could go around the room and y'all could all tell a testimony of something that God has recently brought you through that has put endurance in you. And that's the kind of people we want to be. That's the kind of faith we want to have, to believe to the saving of our soul, to let God work that endurance into our life, to look to Jesus, the author and founder of our faith, and to believe in that, because he walked through the same things we walk through. He led us in a perfect example. There's nothing we can't do. And we're almost done. It's almost over. The baby is almost delivered. Like, we are in the final moments. And let's not let that put fear in us. You know, you could listen to somebody say that, like, y'all, look at the news, read the newspaper, like, whatever. You can totally tell that we are at the end of time. That should not make us feel afraid. that as believers, it should make us so excited. Like, heaven is closer, and yes, we're going to suffer some things, but what is waiting, the joy that is set before us, we can do anything for that. And we can do anything for these last 2 minutes of this game, or however you want to think about it. Like, we are in the final moments. Let's be people of faith. Let's be the greatest generation. Let's be the church that God wants us to be, the glorious bride that he gave his life for, that the world can look at and say, wow, they're really walking through a lot, but look at their faith. Look at their worship. Look at their praise. I'm peeking in the doors of First New Testament, and gosh, those people's lives are messed up. But look at them all down in the altar, worshiping God and praising God and singing praises and encouraging one another and preaching to one another and lifting up Jesus and magnifying the name of God and believing, considering him faithful who has promised. I want that to be a banner over my life, that I would consider him faithful who has promised, not because of my circumstance and not because of what I see, but what I know he is, and he is a faithful God, and he is true to his word, and he will never leave me, and he will never forsake me. Amen. Amen.